Heavenly Father, again, we want to praise and thank you for your kindness, your mercy extended this hour, and a faith, Lord, that is based upon other than that which we have simply read in the Word and believed to have been true because of your Spirit's witness to us. But now at the end time, we are seeing the legitimate proof of Almighty God bringing this Word into life for this hour, and we've seen it manifested and understand as you never understood before, giving us a faith, Lord, that passes unto a place of assurance, a knowledge, Lord, which we believe Abraham had and the great men of God had. Not, Lord, making us anything. It doesn't give us preeminence, but it's what you have done in order to take a bride out of here. And we appreciate that, Lord, that your ways have been made known unto us. Now we are not in darkness, but we can walk in the light. Help us to ever acknowledge that and walk in that light, as you're in the light, having fellowship one with another, you with us and us with you, and all with each other in the bride, and blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. That's a wonderful prospect, Lord, and we're glad to know it's true. It is the truth. It's for this hour, Lord, come true as it's never been true before. That's what we believe, Lord. We're standing on it. We thank you now for helping us in this service. May your name be glorified. May our hearts and minds, Lord, have knowledge increased unto it, unto them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just before starting in to answer these questions, which aren't very many, I want to make sure you realize Sunday service. I think Brother Clausen would like to be preaching this Sunday. There'll be no service on Wednesday, because the following weekend will be foot washing communion and the Easter service, which I am hoping that I'll be able to take both of those at that particular time. So you just keep that in mind, and everything will work out just fine. Now, there aren't too many questions here, so we'll just more or less take them as we go along. And there's a remark here on the token. You said the Lord gives us another spirit. Please explain that spirit a little further. Well, I can't do too much explaining. I've just got to take you to Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, and we're going to read from that, and then we'll simply tell you what Brother Branham said. And that's all I can tell you. I really don't know any more. And read a little bit, starting perhaps at verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things, their abominations are recompensed their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Now, Brother Branham took that, and he said that is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He said that is the spirit that God gives you in order that you may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what he had in mind. It could be the thought that the lamb is led by a dove. And he said the dove could not come down and settle upon a wolf or some creature that was not like a lamb. And he mentioned the most gentle bird, the most gentle lamb. And he said, see, the dove could not possibly stay there. Well, when you realize we are all of one flesh, and it takes God's election to pull us out through sovereign grace, and a sheep gone astray can be just as despicable and horrible, and it tells you here, can be a very bad case of that which is detestable, full of abominations and terrible things. And then he said, I'll put a new spirit there and take away the heart of stone that you'll be able to follow my word. And you'll notice that spirit was necessary before anything could be done in the heart, and anything then which would come from the heart through the flesh, which would allow them to walk in the statutes and ordinances. Now, you take that into where we are today, and just bypass the thought of the new spirit for just a second. There's no way that anybody, even the elect, can understand the things of God until that person is truly filled with the Holy Ghost. Then that Holy Spirit goes down into the soul, and it's in the soul that illumination comes. Now, from the soul that's been united are brought back into Christ with the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming upon that seed, that changes the atmosphere of us entirely, so that now the Spirit, which is life, that's what it really is, begins to manifest through the flesh and will manifest the Word of God. And that manifestation, of course, will be under two considerations. Number one, the position you hold in Christ and what you are given of God as to your personal ministry, gifts, and all. And remember, everybody has some type of ministry. We'll hit that maybe a little later. Now, then, gifts are also there. So, you then, according then to how you are placed in there, and also how you, and we're going to use that word consecrate, I like it, and dedicate, and learn to submit yourselves, knowing the way of the Lord is right, you will find that nature then that's in the soul comes forth in a way that will glorify God and will be seen as living epistles read and known of all men. Now, that's your new birth there, see? All right, now, Brother Branham said that prior to that, you needed a spirit that would allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Now, evidently, a tremendous number of people may perhaps never have come to the place where they received that Spirit, because they never ever received the Holy Ghost. And they're justified, I would believe they're justified, that they've come to Christ for the sins to be remitted, and they've been sanctified. And perhaps a lot of them do come to the place where they receive that Spirit that could lead them to the position of receiving the Holy Ghost, but never do. So we have to just kind of leave it precisely how Brother Branham said that. That this is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. See? This is when you come to the Lord. And someplace in there, in that area, He gives you that Spirit that puts you in a position whereby that you're what you might call sheep-like, in order that the Holy Spirit may actually fill you and you be baptized into Christ, proving that you are a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to swing back to Romans 12 and cover that one point where I mentioned concerning everybody with the ministry, everybody with gifts of some description. And, of course, you understand that this is not exactly vague, but it's like Irenaeus said, there are hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ. And he says here in that third verse, For I say through the grace given to me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now that's going back to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, okay? So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Now, ministry could be in the simple affairs of life, such as women were commended to be taken care of the church, elderly widows, if they were 70 years of age, and they had, I think that's the age, I'm not sure, and had washed the saints' feet, and things like that. They were ministry. Remember, women ministered unto Christ. And this could be not just simply helps and governments in the church, but this could be to many people who are simply ministers, but not ministers in the sense of elders, deacons, and fivefold ministry. Now, he that teaches on teaching. Now, you notice in here that they're mixing up gifts with gifted men in the church. You see, you got gifts given to everybody, some type of gift, but the gifts to the church in Ephesians 4 is a fivefold ministry. Now notice, he that giveth, now that's a gift right there, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Now, the ruling, of course, goes to the fivefold plus the twofold, which are deacons and elders. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now those are gifts, and those are actual callings in the church. Let love be without dissimulation, and so on. So, when I mention the fact here that productivity of the Spirit of God in our lives would depend on ministries or gifts with which you're endowed, as well as your own obedience and humility before the Lord. So this shows here that when the Spirit that comes into us to change us, to give us the atmosphere, to welcome the Holy Ghost, what kind of spirit do people have, even though they're nice people and they smile? You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can be so fooled. I remember years ago I sat beside a man in the Church of Christ, from the Church of Christ. I never sat and talked with a sweeter, more loving man in the world. And I thought, my heavens, here is one person that's truly full of the Holy Ghost, even if he is in the Church of Christ. Now, if that man believes Church of Christ, nonsense. He's no more full of the Holy Ghost than that microphone is, that camera up there. Oh, there's a little difference, but not much. Because the man's patently taught against it. Taught to blaspheme. So how nice you are. And look, I'm not trying to bring a church up here that's not nice. You all understand me by now. I'm trying to show you, don't get fooled. Because here's where seduction lies. See? And it can be terrible. So you can see a lot of people can have a... Well, look at... Let's go to Peter. Some of these things you just can't say too often because it's... Look, if you ever up here instead of me, you know that I can talk to people that I sat in my ministry 3-4 years and begin asking questions. And I say, where have they been or where have I been? Because one of the two of us ain't been somewhere. Or we've been too far out of the ballpark. So I many times don't like to repeat myself. But Paul said it was necessary and didn't hurt him either. And I feel the same way. Not that I'm putting my finger on anybody here, but you understand what I'm saying. Now listen, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in the 22nd verse, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with pure heart fervently. Now he's laying the whole thing out there. So now when he says unfeigned love, you know right away there is a feigned love. And he says, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Now, if you have really listened to the Word of God, it's been delivered in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of revelation and so on, and you've received that. Notice what it says. Your souls are now pure, and you now have an unfeigned love unto the brethren. You see? Now, that cannot be a denominational love. Because Catholic got to hate Protestant, Methodist got to fight Baptist, Baptist got to fight Pentecostal, and Pentecostal got to take them all on and win them all. And they don't do it by their love or their word, they do it by gifts. See? Now, so watch. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's really spora, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, there's two groups of people. And they're very religious. They're tremendously circumspect. And there's no doubt they show amplitude of love. And one is born of a corrupt word. Therefore, it's a corrupt spirit. See? Now, don't think the Spirit of God isn't moving overall because it's moving overall. And in this end time, anybody and everybody can get anointed with the Holy Ghost. I'll pour my Spirit upon ALL flesh, and your sons and your daughters prophesy, and upon my servants. Sometimes some people say that's Israel. Well, call it if you want. Then give it all to Israel. Brother Branham gave Ezekiel to us. Takes a prophet to do it. But you know, listen, let's face it. Do you realize the Bible absolutely confirms the truth that it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither Jew nor Gentile? What are you going to do about it? Well, I'll make my own rules up. Well, go ahead. You play baseball according to your own rules, and the ump will kick you out. It doesn't matter to kill the ump, it's kill the guy that tries to make his own rules. You know, what I'm trying to say here, you have to go strictly by the Word of God, every single word, and you don't turn one word down by your mind wandering and your heart wandering. You're going to look at each word, and you say, hey, there's two groups of people here. One has a feigned love, a wrong spirit, a wrong word. Now, Brother Branham said he can come so close to the real, he'll deceive everybody but the elect. And at the end time, he's got miracles and signs and wonders, on top of it. So now you're going to have a people absolutely anointed of a wrong spirit with the wrong word, using genuine signs and wonders with a beautiful gift, a beautiful manifestation, and the whole thing's going to throw it into chaos. Then Jesus comes on the scene, kicking over the money changers once again, blasting them plumb out of the Holy Ghost arena, which they're trying to invade. Oh, they can't stand that. They'll crucify him to themselves afresh. If they get their hands on him, they'd pull him to pieces in the kingdom of God, too. You think they wouldn't? Come on. So there's your picture there. So I hope you understand what we're saying now. There is a spirit that you don't have. It's not the spirit, Brother Branham said, that when you're born, you drop from your mother's womb, that spirit comes in. Now, I don't say that he obliquely set this forth, because it wasn't so oblique. He did, associate that spirit with the spirits that God created in the beginning, angels. I wouldn't know where to take that, but I know this. What he's talking about here is not that. It is not the spirit that came into you and you were just a kicking bundle of nerves and muscles. This is a spirit that God gives. What is it? I can't tell you, except the prophet said that. I believe what he said. And you can see how this would lead to so many things we're talking about. People getting this far. They could be foolish virgin. They could be denominationals. Come a long way, never receive the Holy Ghost, come up in the second resurrection. It opens the door to many things which I don't have the answer, but that's where I get what I'm talking about now. Brother Branham did say that, and I was terribly surprised. It's in one of the messages, right around the time I think he preached on the seven church ages. I'm not positive. Now, we know this earthly body we have was not the one intended by God. Now, I'll read the whole thing and we'll check this out carefully. Is our intended body existing in material form? Or is it only a spoken word form waiting for manifestation when God calls for it? Now, first of all, the wording isn't quite precise. We know this earthly body we have was not the one intended. Yes, it was intended by God, or he wouldn't have made it. But there was something more down the road that we could come to. That's why he said, lest he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. He did not want that body. That was an interim body. Just the same as God himself gave himself an interim body. He gave himself the pillar of fire. He could hide in the cloud. He could manifest as a rock, sunlight, light, whatever way. I don't know all the ways that God manifested. But he reserved to himself a body of glory, which was the body in human form, the Lord Jesus Christ, which that body was so much God that it was literally a part of God. And that's not hard to understand. I sort of went that before. Now, so man was given an interim body, which had man lived on this earth and raised up other sons and daughters, just like Adam and Eve were, so that not by matter of sexual procreation, there would have come a time when God would have taken the interim and changed it by transfiguration into the body which we are to have now. Now, I don't have the code on that. It's not down in here. As far as I know, I never wrote this in my Bible, but it has to do in marriage and divorce, where Brother Branham said, God is going to create again from the potash and the calcium and the cosmic light and all those things, not through sex. So it's almost like a process of creation. Call it recreation, because that's how Brother Branham actually put it. So is our intended body existing in material form? No, but it's got everything it needs for that material form. Every single thing. Now, you can sort of take these words, create, and you might run a little bit out of the middle of the road. Because we take the words in the Hebrew, there are two words used in Scripture, form and create. Now, first of all, creation is essentially, we believe, to make absolutely something out of nothing, which is the pure spoken word of God brings into existence exactly what God said in that word, and that word said exactly what God had in his mind, and what was manifested then was exactly Logos. To that, you understand I'm saying Logos in that extent. Don't take it to mean God now, like Logos in being under the word, and word is with God. I'm talking in terms of that thought manifested, see? So it's like the same principle, because God works in the same, in that principle there. So the next thing he did, having created Adam and Eve in a spirit form, and they were dual members in this one spirit body, he then formed from the ground a human figure, and evidently his forming was not just like a sand pile. You know? No, that wasn't it at all. It was taking it and molding it by his own hands. And as he did, the chemistry would begin to change so that there was vessels and ducts and everything there in order to convey a natural life, to be the conveyor of it. Then he breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became that living soul. So now we have an animation of body, and we have an animation of the spirit. So we have a dual animation in there. Now, so and Brother Branham used the terms create. Well, you have to be pretty careful to keep it in the context, in my understanding, because he said he'll create again as he did in the beginning. And what he did in the beginning, he says he took the calcium and the potash, the cosmic light, and he even said oil, I think, too, petroleum, sorry, petroleum, which I suppose he said correctly. I don't know. There's so many elements in the body, you don't ask me. I suppose I could find that we could name them all, and we know more about it. But he said, as he did in the beginning. So therefore, I am of the opinion, since Brother Branham also said, now he said, look, he said, if I drop this book, and it comes up a handkerchief, he said, that's not resurrection. So, what we're looking at here, in my understanding, the simplistic is, that if Brother Branham knew that Paul was a little bandy-legged, thin, hook-nosed, beady-eyed Jew, something like that, and we'll see him in the resurrection and recognize him, and David and these men, I'm not the least bit thinking in my mind that I'm going to come up looking like Raymond Navarro or Valentino or whoever's supposed to be one of the great idols. I'm going to look like me, whether I like it or not. I will, definitely, because I'm getting more and more used to it. You'll like it whether you like it or not, because we'll all be changed. See, it won't be this physical thing. But we will be those people. And I believe that God is going to take again what has gone down even to the gases which have been touched by the Holy Spirit and therefore identified, bring that back in a glorified form. So we cannot say that the existing body is waiting for its material form. What can we say? We can say there is an existing spirit body, which Brother Branham called a theophany. Yet another place he called a spirit body, which is exactly 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We have one waiting for us. Now, that's waiting for us. Now, when you leave here, your body goes to the ground. It'll dissolve into dust, bits of bone and things. I don't know what's going to happen to your body, my body. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. It'll go through a furnace and just literally dissolve, be atomized. No problem at all. Now, your spirit and soul, first of all, your spirit will leave the body because that's life, because that came as you dropped your mother's womb. That goes first. Then the spirit, the soul lingers for a while. How long, I don't know, but doesn't linger very long because that's got to leave too. Now, the Bible said the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Now, the question is that the spirit of God that goes back to God, or is that a spirit that God gave apart from God? I don't know. But I know it's gone. But I do know this. That the important part of you is the soul. And that soul part, which is a spirit part, you're two-thirds spirit and one-third physical. That will go to this body that Brother Branham called a theophany, which is a spirit body. And there you'll be clothed in that particular body, but you cannot eat and drink. Now, when you come back in the resurrection, you in your theophany, spirit body, are going to pick up the body that comes out of the grave by the divine power of Almighty God, which is like a recreation, what he said, a recreation. And you'll walk around that glorified state, now you're complete. Now, those of us down here who are going to be changed, if we remain in the chain, strangest thing which I don't understand, we will meet our theophany in the air. That if Brother Branham said it, and I don't dispute it, I just wondered why, but I don't wonder very much, because I'm really not interested. I'm getting along fine without it in this sense. If I don't need it, even the resurrection, And there's a purpose beyond that. That's great. Don't worry about it. But that's pretty well what we can look at. Now, or is it only a spoken word form waiting for manifestation when God calls for it? Well, I tell you what. You're right on this idea that God has already said this is going to happen, so therefore it has got to happen, but it's going to happen like the prophet already told us. You're going to come back, and you're going to be that individual. All right? Let's see where we go from here. Powers ordained of God. That's over here in the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. So let's take a look at the book of Romans. We read this the other day. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Now, you'll notice in here, when you talk about this word power, it is not dunamis, which means literal power, like up here. What do you call them? Dr. Bullinger mentions. Natural capability, inherent power, capability of anything, ability to perform anything. Then absolutely, not merely power capable of action, but power in action. The power of God is the power which manifests itself in all modes, especially. Then he puts over here, and from Revelation 5 and 12, it would be the same word, and he says here, we have inherent ability to effect all the divine purposes. We've been given that. Physical ability prevailing in action. The fullness of all good, honor, intrinsic excellence, the utterance of blessing from a redeemed creation. Now, that's true. When they're talking about you and me, that word in the Greek is dunamis. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. It is the same word, which means lying within it. That's inherent, or lying within it innately. Call it what you want. It's intrinsically there, positively. And it has in it all the power necessary to do all the divine will of Almighty God, whatever He wants. And you notice the way to get it done is learning to get out of the way. And I want to, just before I come back to this, I'm going to hit this again in Ephesians, so you'll know why Brother Branham said the things he said. Over here in Ephesians, and I suppose it's the third chapter, and it says in the 20th verse, unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, that's unto him who in the exercise of his power that is at work within us is able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers and thoughts. It tells you, God exercised the power that he put within us, but he's got to exercise it. It'll go beyond our highest thoughts to his glory, and it'll last throughout eternity. But if people don't allow that, it'll be like you said, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils. I did wonderful things. He said, I never knew you. See? So, what you're looking at there, that dunamis, which is the Holy Spirit himself, which is God in you, willing and doing his good pleasure, gives you the authority, the power, gives you the ability to perform all of his good will. And that is all that can be done as we learn to let him do it. It's difficult to get out of the way, but where we ever learn to take his yoke upon us, we'll do exactly fine. Now, a little further on. Well, I read that there. That has to do with dunamis. Now, that's not here. This here, every soul be subject unto the higher powers, simply means he's talking to us as earthbound creatures at this point in the kingdom of Satan and man. There's an earthly kingdom here. We're children of God in his kingdom, but we're down here all mixed in. And we are to be in obedience to those authorities, which authority has been derived from God. And at no time, even though that authority of man can run amok and go against God, are we enjoined to obey that authority. Now, the authority is of God. Make no mistake about it, the original authority is of God. But it doesn't say that everything that person does is right. You see, the Bible distinctly says all power is of God. And that is both dunamis and exousia, which would be power and authority. Everything the devil has and everything the devil does is rooted in the power that God gave him, but he has perverted it. So that's what you have to watch here.
this power can be perverted. This power is perverted on the very grounds that these people are not necessarily full of the Holy Ghost. And even if they were, it doesn't guarantee, because you've got to learn to step aside. Now, it doesn't exclude anybody. It says everybody is to be subject. In other words, you're to find your place and what you're supposed to do in this earthly kingdom in a way that brings harmony. Now, let's see what Bullinger says about this word, which is really authority. It is not power, it is authority, and therefore it is delegated. It is allowed. One can, and it is permitted if you don't have any hindrances. All right? It's allowed, it's permitted, it's delegated authority. It's liberty or authority to do anything. Now, it doesn't mean this is the divine right of kings and dictators, you anything you want. This just says here that this has the authority to cause the things that should be done, perhaps not even should be done, will be done. Look at, do you think for 1 minute that things really got tough over there in Russia, they couldn't have bumped Stalin off somehow? Well, they could have got him. Don't tell me it can't happen. What happens? People are crazy. They're as crazy as the guy that's leading them, if not crazier. So they back him up, and they see he doesn't get hurt. What made Marcos abdicate? The generals. They just said, we had enough. And they pulled the plug, and he went down the drain. Now, what is behind all this? God is behind all of this. And his purpose must be done. And certainly he's behind despots, egomaniacs, murders, everything else. Not that he does it, but his power is there. And many times, that power that he allows is used in order to punish. It's just like Brother Branham said, that the reason that Russia has the communists in their government is because of the Catholic Church. That's the Greek Orthodox. Now, he said, we have Martin Luther King and his problems over here because we treated the Indians wrong. Now, he said, God raised up the communists to burn the flesh of the harlot. So you can see what we're dealing with here. This thought here has to do with authority. Now, affirms that free movement is insured to the ability. Now, in other words, these people have a very loose rein, but they're accountable to God. And all government comes from God, because government is essentially order. It has to be. And you know as well as I do that two heads are not nearly as good as one head if that one head is a good head. See, it's just even Plato said the finest form of government is benevolent dictatorship. And the only real form of government is theocracy. But you know, people do not like a theocratic reign because they're not equipped for it. We're not equipped for a true theocratic reign. There's no way. He came once in the flesh and the Jews killed him. He came secondly in the Holy Spirit through the prophet Elijah, and what are we doing? We crucified ourselves, the Son of God, afresh. Amen. There's only one way to get the theocratic kingdom, and that's for the millennium. And you've got to burn everything off. Even Brother Brand said germs 1,000 miles high. You might wonder why. I don't wonder anymore. I say, great goody, burn them all off. If we got to go, we go too. Let God be glorified. You mean you got to get that spirit, the Hebrew children on you. In time of Daniel, the spirit was on Brother Branham. Got to get that spirit, brother, sister, it's all there is to it. Now, be subject to the higher powers. Fit in the scheme. As far as you can. See, now, you can't fit in the scheme of God to be a hand if you're a foot. Then you cannot fit into this if it's against God. Then you become the sore thumb sticking out there. But you got to fit in the best you can. But don't deny the things of God. Now, for there is no power but of God. Now, people often quail about these things, but remember, if God did not want that there, it wouldn't be there. Now, it's not that God wanted it in the pristine will, the primary pure will. But now, because things have gone the way they're gone, God wants it there. See? Now, they're ordained of God. It's actually set there by Almighty God. Now, I didn't say how far they go with it. See? But that is allowed to God. Whosoever therefore resists authority, resists the ordinance of God. Now then, how are we going to resist the currents of history? You know, we wonder all the time why these people never learn the history. They can't. There's no way, because God's in history. God's making history. And Brother Brandon said there won't be any history books written on this because we're going to be out of here. That's fine. If they are written, they'll go up and smoke there. There'll be very quick little little things like, you know, when Jimmy Jones got those people down again, they all killed off, you know, what is it, 800 or so? They made a movie so quick it wasn't worth, you know, even spitting at. I didn't see it, but I understand it's just a cruddy thing. Well, if people want to write some history now, it won't be worth a plug nickel. Because history, you got to review things in retrospect. You've got to look back. So it won't be worth a plug nickel if somebody tries to do something now. If we went on for some time, you'd see what they do about Brother Branham. You talk about the Catholics venerating St. Francis and these other people. Oh, my, he'd be venerated. You begin to see what a person he really had, but not going to go that long. I just want you to see all these things are running according to God. See, regardless, is what the Bible says to us. He makes the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder wrath he doth restrain. There's no way you can get around this. So, now this word here then means privilege. This word, these words here, force, competency. You get the word magistrate and potentate from it. It means delegated influence, means authority, means jurisdiction, means liberty. God goes ahead and does it. Now, you know that. Now, we're going to look at how we squawk about government here. And we got a right to squawk. And we got rights to do what we think we can do about it and should do about it. We've got a right to organize. Because we got a freedom too. But we have representatives we send to government. And what happens? They don't represent us. They represent lobbies. That's all. They don't represent us. They claim they do. One or two might. Now they think they do. Look how they're deluded. How come they can't defeat a lobby? You know, the lobbies always appeal to common sense. And common sense is contrary to God. Because common sense comes from the best that man can do under nature. The Word of God comes from Almighty God, and He is the best. See? The lobby, we got a government run by lobbies. It's exactly what Paul Harvey said. He said, look, he said, you got a dictator over there in Russia. The Russians do what they want to do in ruling the people. And he said, we give people the vote over here and send the government, and they don't listen to us. They say we're going to do certain things which you people want, and they do what they want. He said, same system Russia's got. He said, tell me the difference. Well, you say the difference is this. We got men that we send in there. Well, why is God going to burn both of them? See, he's going to get rid of the systems. The system, look, there's only two systems. There's only really one system, God's system. And from the power that God delegated come a second system. That's all. Now, there's variations in the second one, but there's no variations in the first one. See? All these don't mean a thing here. Now, whosoever resisteth authority, he resists the power, resists what God is doing. So, therefore, there is a place where people cannot resist. Otherwise, they resist to their folly because they're going to get chopped down. You follow me? And they're going to get chopped down. Now, we can resist to the place of having elected members even recalled. You can write enough letters to make them vote a certain way. Now, the lobbyists put a lot of money in. We don't need to put much money in. All we need to do is write letters. And you get a few thousand letters arriving in 1 week to any representative, he's going to start changing his tune. But people aren't going to do that. And they're going to squawk, 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 squawk. And they'll blame it on to God. They'll blame it on the devil. Which there's a certain amount of truth in there. You know, I should be talking about it. But we have our ways of doing things according to the program that God's laid out. Now then, if we don't do those things, and those people go ahead and we have government by lobby, which we have, when that comes into force, we cannot come against it. We got to obey, unless it means disobey. Disobey God, then we won't do it. You see what I'm trying to get across here? Now, let's keep ruling now. We're looking at this word here. When you resist the ordinance of God, you resist, they that resist shall receive judgment. You're going to get hauled into court and thrown in the hoosgow. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, that is a beautiful statement when America first started up. But you got to watch that. And the Bible's not wrong. True authority, true laws, they're good. They're fine. Even the laws that aren't good, long as they don't go against God, the Spirit, the Word of the living God, then, you know, you can go ahead, you got to obey them. Now, wilt thou then be afraid of the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, basically, the authority that God has delegated is to help us live civic lives down here, where we get along with each other, blend in, courts can adjudicate. Like the Bible says, if man sin against man, the judge will judge him. But if man sin against you, God, who will plead for him? So you got to understand that. Just take this back and forth and watch it. He's a minister to thee for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. Brother Brand said the law's got infinity. What use having a law? And he is a minister of God. Now these men are ministers of God that we put in office. It doesn't mean they're going to do the complete will of God. No, Adam and Eve were told, multiply, replenish here, take care of all the products out here, and they listened to the devil. There's a lot of men get in government. Like Brother Branham said, you get a real fine, intelligent, nice citizen, real swell guy, put a cop uniform on, watch what happens. Watch what happens. He'll violate the very law. There's no major city that the cops aren't involved in drugs right now, making scads of money. Larry Smith's wife got picked up for nothing one time in Chicago. So she said, well, I didn't do anything. Well, he said, you know what you did. Before it was over, he let her know flat that all she had to do was drop a $20 bill and she was scot-free. And they pick them up again by the thousands in Chicago. Chicago's one of the roughest places under high heaven. That's a credit to Mayor Daley, no doubt. The big Democrat big wheel. Of course, there's no such thing as the Republicans being God's servants. I never think that. You put a name on you, any more Baptist Presbyterian, they could get you anywhere either. But that's the way people go, see? They're supposed to be in this realm here. Now, there's nothing much you can do except take the scripture that says a soft answer turns away wrath. It doesn't mean to knuckle under and be crept on by everybody, but it does mean you watch what you do, because the law originally was of God. And you got to watch. Just be careful. Wherefore, we must needs be subject not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. For this, now watch, for this cause pay you tribute. Now, here's where we got to watch ourselves. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. In other words, the scripture here is telling us, there is duly constituted government that we've got to pay for. There's no way out, because that's the will of God. Because it's a watered down form from his government. And he's got a great government. Cherubim, angels, archangels, you name it. Tremendous. And down on earth, he's got men doing the job. In here, there are men doing the job. So you pay tribute. You pay your dues. You pay your taxes. You pay the custom duties. You give fear. You give honor. Now, that's what we're looking at. But all that is delegated authority. See, now some people say, I'm not going to pay taxes because it's going to go to a war machine. What's that got to do with you? Pay your taxes. If it goes to war machine, let it go to war machine. Now, the purpose of God is going to be fulfilled in this government here. Don't worry. It's positively being fulfilled already. You would really think that one person that would have his head screwed on right would be President Reagan, but he's playing footsie with the Pope too. Now, why? Well, look, Rome itself is nothing. You don't need even a hydrogen bomb or a Tommy bomb. Just one decent bomb, a buzz bomb, will take care of the Pope and his 12 miles or what he's got over there in Rome. Yeah, that's not it. It's his influence by religion in the whole world. And remember, America today is not a Protestant nation. And remember, Brother Branham said, your missionary efforts are over. You have elected a Catholic president. Why go down to South America and to Mexico, millions and millions of Catholics? See, it isn't completely over. He didn't mean that. But they can say, well, why do you come down here and talk about us Catholics? You've got a Catholic president up there. It really makes the people wonder. It makes it more and more difficult. Of course, if there's seed down there, you go down, they'll come out. But you know what he was saying. He's saying, look, here's your picture. Here's what it's all about. Not fussing at the Roman Catholics. When it comes right down to them, I wouldn't be surprised if a better bunch of you than the Protestants are. From what I've heard down here in the States and over the years I've been down here, I think I've been able to find more people eulogize the Roman Catholics for being good, fine people than these bunch of renegade Protestants. These renegade Protestants protest God. They're protesting. They're protesting this in vain. It's kind of a flawed thing. So he allows his permissive will to... Yes, his permissive will is here, and not only permissive, it is his will that's being done. I don't care how it's being done, it's being done. The tares are being bundled for the harvest. In his divine, terrific will, he sent Elijah the prophet. He himself came with him. The fan in his hand, purging the floor, binding the tares. In absolute direct will. But he's got all this going down here. He's allowing it. That's what he said. Remember, that's what he said over here in the Matthew chapter 13. he said in the 36th verse, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field, he said. He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the Word. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So it will be the end of this world. Just leave them there to the end of the world. Both governments will exist side by side, intermingled. No problem. He'll have his way. It's going to come to pass 100% as he wants it. All right, we got one last question here, and I won't go beyond this. Based on what Brother Branham said, we've seen the last sign. True. That's the sign of the messianic sign, the sign that he always demonstrated. We've seen our last sign. All the church has to do is lie in the presence of the Son and ripen. Knowing no man knows the timetable, what are you looking at that has to repeat in the Omega of Genesis 18? Well, all I know is the Son's got to come in flesh. That's all. I want to go back to Genesis 18. Now, in verse 14, is anything too hard to the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I'll return unto thee. All right, in what form? What was the returning? He's going to give the promised word, which would be a human baby born to Sarah and Abraham. All right, we've got everything ready. What's the next? The promised son in midair, incarnation. We meet him in the air. That's all that's left. Now, what's going to go between? I don't know. Lots of things. Now, you just stay with your word here and you watch that word. For a long time, we've been hearing that they're going to make the money red because the laundry. Now, I told you it wasn't going to go red. They're going to leave it green with little bits of thread in it. See? Don't listen to these guys like McBurney and these big radio guys and these big guys. And don't necessarily listen to me. That wasn't a lucky guess. That's based on the commerce of this world. 70% of all commerce is done with American money. And if anybody thinks America's so big they're going to sniff anybody out with this kind of color and that kind of color and that, the world's too big for America as we sold ourselves down the river. When we went off the Monroe Doctrine, ditched it for these... You know, these brainy guys, Wilson and the Roosevelts, they're the birds that got us in all this mess. And the Trumans came along, and you know what they do. The rest of them, no, not throwing off on those fellas. They were all right for their day. But that's where it came from. They didn't honor God. Ike was the man that came the closest, really honoring God. That's why Brother Branham thought a lot of him. I believe Ike was a thorough-going Christian. I don't know if he'd be in the bride or not, but he'll certainly be in that second resurrection, or he could be in the first resurrection. That's up to him and God. I don't know. That's the election. But so many things we look at and we think we know the answer, we don't necessarily know the answer. So don't be startled by things that people try to bring to your attention and say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We do know, according to what Brother Branham said, the church, the bride has got to go through a squeeze. Now, we've been going through the squeeze of the big sneer. Now, sticks and stones may break our bones. They will break bones, but names will never hurt us. Now, they do, though, but they shouldn't. See, we haven't got the sticks and stones yet. We're sort of in a little sneer amongst ourselves. And, of course, there's a sneer outside amongst the Pentecostals that think they know a little bit about us, and others that they heard a little bit about the church ages and serpent seed and those things, and they think we're really plumb gone. Well, that's all right. We happen to know they're plumb gone, so they can think anything they want, you know what I mean? It's perfectly all right, you know. I don't know everything that's going to happen, but the bride's going to have more of a squeeze, according to what Brother Branham said. But at the same time, there'll be a ripening. And the bride will be able to take whatever comes her way. Right now, I think the most anxiety that's amongst us is based on the fact that we don't see too much of anything moving. My greatest anxiety has now become Brother Branham's anxiety, which is the cares of this world. Well, I've got a meeting tonight. Well, I could have a little business deal tonight. Well, I could work later hours. Oh, there's a thousand things you can do to keep you from the Word. And you'll do it, too, if you're not elect. Let me tell you that. That won't be a disappointment. Although I feel the disappointment building up because I can see it. And yet, as I look around, I see others that you can almost see registered on their faces something is moving. And I'm not standing here as though I know very much, because I don't know very much, and you know by now I don't know very much. If you think I do, you're badly deceived, because I don't try to fool anybody. But I tell the truth. It's easy to get carried away. See? My biggest problem right now is failing health. I never was too studious and steadfast as I should be, but I can tell you one thing. The more that I prepare myself to deliver what I believe Brother Branham gave us by divine inspiration, the health doesn't mean one thing. I always have plenty of strength to be able to deliver the Word of God. How long that lasts, I don't know, because I don't even know what's going on myself. The human body, who can know it with trillions of cells and man hasn't even learned 20% of the human body in 6,000 years. So I got 80% that can be non-compos mentis as far as what you want. It's just incomprehensible as far as anybody's concerned. So that can be problems. But the carelessness is the big thing to watch for. That is the thing to watch for. And that the cares of this life have been augmented by the fact of travel, the ability to go places, to do things. The ability to have, the ability to expend energy, all those things. The ability to, and it's too bad. We got to scramble harder for living than we ever scrambled. It doesn't give us time for our own families like we should have. We become very poor that way. And all these things have taken away from us until it seems that we've been trapped. I myself can say from my own experience, that from our children. Yeah, I told you many times, if I had to go back with our kids, they'd be raised the way they started, on apple boxes. You know, we couldn't afford potty chairs, so I made one out of an apple box. You don't get apple box like we do, you don't understand. It's made out of wood. Nice wood at the end and nice slats, and you could take out one end, and you roll, put it down in the middle. And then you slanted the boards at the side, and you took a belt, and you could put the kids in there. And you cut the hole just right and put the pot underneath it. It worked very well. You sanded it down. The kids didn't get blisters or anything else. And they made great high chairs, too. You didn't cut a hole in this time. You know, like the little chairs you get in the restaurant, you know, little chairs that set kids on. We made those years ago. We didn't have high chairs. And, you know, we were very fortunate to have that instead of the nice things we bought later on. I just couldn't wait to buy the kids nice beds and nice clothes. And you have no hand-me-downs. The two boys were close together, about a year apart. No way would they wear each other's clothes except tiny babies. But when they went downtown, they got brand new overcoats, brand new caps, everything. Nothing stern. No, sir, we didn't like that. But you know what? It's been a million times better to have the old-fashioned things we had. A lot of loose ends and enjoy a sunset. Now we're enjoying a sunset and don't even have enough help to enjoy it like we should. And where are the kids today? You know, these things are not right. Now, you see, at the end time, it's got to get worse. Because why? It's harvest time. It's seed time. It's coming right back. A couple of chickens haven't come back to roost. Phew! All of Hitchcock's birds have come down on us to plague us and to cart us away. It's the ravens and the bad birds at the end. Yes, at the end time here, I don't see anything left too much except to keep on going on and to plan for higher heights, for deeper visions, to plan for greater plateaus, that when you come to them, you know you're just resting, to get your breath to scale higher and onward. Don't get your imagination running wild, though you can tell what it is, because you don't. It's just a deeper insight, as far as I know. I don't know for sure, but it's a deeper insight. And it's greater love, it's greater respect, it's greater understanding. You've had 60 years, maybe like us, and a whole lot longer, some of you 40, 50 years, 25 years not holding your tongue. And you'll find, hey, it's funny, strange. I'm holding my tongue better than ever. You're not rising up to take the bait like you used to take the bait. All of these things, you're ripening, you're coming along fine. You're learning. We're all learning a little slowly, but the Lord's helping us. I say, I look and I watch and I observe, and I don't say I'm a spiritual keen observer, because I'm not. But I'm quite satisfied that there's a bride, part of the bride's here. If not all bride, we got some. Who knows, we might all miss it and come up in the second resurrection, and every single one may make it. But watch yourselves. The most important thing is don't get pig-headed, get sheep-headed. You know, I never saw a sheep yet rip down a piece of 2x8 that I had 16 nails in, but I've seen a pig do it. I don't know how old Greg takes care of all he's got there. I guess he gets them off to the market before they give you too much trouble. It's just a mighty smart thing to do, son. I've had them around too long. I don't see a fence they couldn't climb through, under, over, get through planks like you couldn't believe and nails like you couldn't believe. Man, get their snunner. Might not be that easy, but boy, they got it off there. That get those pigs moving. I don't know a bull elephant do any better. Well, actually, size-wise, I think the elephant's a chicken alongside of the pig. We got moon. You know, you look at a wild boar can do. So we got to remember we're sheepses, not pigses. So we sheep out, we don't pig out. Watch the bullheadedness. The only place you can be bullheaded, brother, sister, and then you're not bullheaded there, you're sheepheaded. You know there's a word that's been revealed, and you know where you stand on that word. Don't back up for a second on it. Don't ever do it. You're not honoring God. You're not helping yourself. You're not doing anybody a favor. I told you I tried it. You're not going to do a favor. You're not going to convince anybody anyway. It's going to take... And if you convince somebody, you're nuts. Because the man, you know, what is the old saying? He that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You haven't done him any favor. There's no way shaving for him. It's got to be revealed in the sense of an understanding. I'm not preaching like a revealing what Brother Branham said. I'm teaching what Brother Branham revealed to us. There's no way I could have thought of these things outside of Brother Branham. I wouldn't want to think of them. So just keep moving on, and that's going to be the ripening, I think, more than anything in the world, is just staying with the Word. Don't be careless and stay with Him. Okay.
On that same question, that wasn't my question, but when you taught years ago, you said Brother Branham said the Son of Man was the bride in every age.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have to do then, not just His coming back in flesh, but is it also Him being represented in the bride?
Well, sure, He's represented bride. That the Bible tells us we're ambassadors for Christ. That's the vicarship is handed down. But what a lot of people didn't realize, they're willing to take the bride as the full membership of Christ. Say, there's the body, hallelujah. But when Brother Branham came on the scene and he pointed out the prophet, the living Word of God manifest in flesh, they said, don't forget that. Or God manifest in flesh, they didn't want that. So you got to understand there's degrees there. But the bride will ripen more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But the bride will never be a prophet. The bride receives the Word, the engrafted Word. And the engrafted Word in which the life is released. And the light and the Word for this hour is resurrection and immortality. Now, we don't bring about a resurrection. No way, shape, and form. Except in the sense that we're at this hour, where what's achieved in us through the end time Word allows for a resurrection and brings it about. But remember, my brother, sister, the same one that brought the shout is the same one with the voice. See? And we don't have any preeminence over those that are dead. You know, you get this message in a church, like Pentecostal or Baptist or somewhere, and you look at the pride. Man, I tell you, when I first heard a Pentecostal preach, I'm proud of Pentecost. I almost slunk under the covers, you know, the floor covering. What's a man say? He's proud? Now, there's such a thing as being pride in the sense of terribly happy and honored to be a part of this message. But if this message were any place else but in a people like us, you would really see pride. And I'll be honest with you, if time went on, which I don't believe it's going to go on, and there were successor generations to take this message, you would see a very ornery, prideful people with this. Because this message covers everything. Now, they wouldn't understand it the way you and I do. No way, shape, and form. But they'd understand it to their own understanding. And believe me, it's tremendous. I said before, if I had a community church and I was a community preacher out there in the world, I would simply take what Brother Branham taught. But I would not teach appearing. I would teach it as a possible fulfillment at a future date. And have a big crowd. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Why, I could only preach that here. In little tiny groups, I couldn't get that couldn't go out and tell and say, he came down, he appeared. You couldn't quote Brother Branham saying, I was not the one that appeared down there. I was on the one near when he appeared. And that appearing coming closer and closer, more and more in, until with the angels he came down, which is significant of Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, the judge. And after that, the judgment of God was in the earth. That's when Brother Branham could preach those great sermons, counting down. I indict this generation. Flashing red lights. Warning is coming. Couldn't preach those before. He couldn't preach the token. He had to preach those things after the seals. How would he preach marriage and divorce? That's a strange subject. It's very strange. There's one word in there. I'll bring it to your attention sometime. The Lord doesn't show you that one word. He'll skip it every time, like I did. I'm pretty sure you will. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you saw it already and you're wondering about it. But he could not say the things he said outside the seals. And the bride is progressing. But she'll never be like Brother Branham. But she ought to, every member ought to do his and her best to walk in his steps and to show forth the same spirit that he showed forth, which is to stand with the word of God without fear or favor, be strong, to be hard in the right places. You know, that's right. Meekness is a word that people think is jellyfish and soft soap. It's not. It's hard. It's hard as nails. Because it refuses to give in to what is wrong and will stand with what is right in a proper spirit. That's why Moses was the meekest man that ever lived as a human being. That's right. Stand right there and just stand. Paul had the same quality. Of course, Christ was the complete epitomization of it, the fulfillment. William Branham was the same way. I believe there's going to be a bride the same caliber. So that's it. The Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Sunday, 10:30. Heavenly Father, we come to you again, this little time of praying together, Lord, thanking you for fellowship we have in Christ, which is always sweet and beautiful. And we trust, Lord, always glorifies your great name, puts things in perspective, gets us all in order, our minds, our spiritual ways, Lord, all of these things in order with your divine word. And Lord, your own prophet said we can take this message for healing. And John said, I wish above all else you might prosper and be in health, your soul prospers. We know that this message came to put the soul in order. Came to put us all in order, Lord, in fellowship with you, one with another, the blood cleansing. Therefore, Lord, we're all candidates for the rapture, Father, candidates for divine healing. Candidates, Lord, for what you have in your word here. Lord God, we see that there wasn't one word that's been left unfulfilled. There's not one thing, Lord, that's remiss. There's not one thing that's in doubt. Oh, we're a little in doubt, Lord, about it because we don't see too clearly yet, but we know as far as that word is concerned, there's nothing in doubt. It's right. Just help us to see it the right way so that we won't have any problems and any errors, Lord. And as we see it right, Lord, may we live it. Honor your great and holy name. Now, Father, go with each one. As prophet often said, may there not be one amongst us not healed, Father. We just pray we'll believe that as never before. Getting strength from you, getting help, direct our paths, O God, now. Under righteousness, lead, guide, and direct, Lord, and all these things that we might just be able to achieve what you want us to achieve, not what we would want, Lord. Have your way, my God, in every way, shape, and form, we pray. We'll give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to sing, take the name of Jesus with you.